It's definitely a race. And, you know, it's kind of special because this is the first time in history where you worry about the enemy, not in terms of their armament, but their ability to get a bunch of guys to sit down at a desk and write some instructions. But the good guys at least know they have to pay attention, and that's the heartening news.
Thanks to our production team for this program, and they are certainly not hacks, Gary Niederhoff and Barbara Vance.
Also support from Google, Rena Shulsky, David and Sammy David, and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, and a big thanks also to our listeners.
And your ears have been attuned to What the Hack. You can find more Big Picture Science on iTunes and through the link on our website. While you're online, you might find and even download our Big Picture Science app. You can find it on iTunes, Android, and Windows 8.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you prefer over-the-air radio, because after all, you don't need to download the program from a possibly insecure internet, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, consider letting them know you like the show.
Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through.
Do your part by going to boostup.org and giving a student the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life, but it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch. Go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Piranda Z, and you are listening to WHFR, Diapo! Wow!
You are listening to The Heights News and Views, presented on the second Tuesday of every month on WHFR Dearborn, making waves on 89.3 FM. A program devoted entirely to the issues of interest to the residents of the city of Dearborn Heights, Michigan. This program is part of the WHFR's weekly talk show format, presented every Tuesday from 1 until 2 p.m., making waves from the Henry Ford Community College radio station, broadcasting on 89.3 FM from Dearborn, Michigan. And now, your Heights News and Views host, Dearborn Heights Councilman, Ned Abigian.
Thank you, Dennis. What would I do without you?
I'm not sure. We're going to find out because I have to leave for a minute. Let's get your volume right here.
Anyway, our program today is, the subject of our program today is an interview with three of the four superintendents of our school systems in Dearborn Heights, in the Crestwood District, the Westwood District, and District 7. We are lucky to have our Crestwood District Superintendent, Lori Van Falkenberg, and I'm sure Lori's a PhD.
Yes.
And we'd have to call her doctor, but to save time today, we're going to have to dispense with that because we have two other PhDs, maybe doctors as well, I don't know. And so I'm going to refer to them as maybe by their first names and make sure that we realize which district we're dealing with. Right now, our Westwood District Superintendent, Sue Carnell, and District 7 Superintendent, Jeffrey Bartold, are still outside, and we're going to have to go over there out and make sure they get into the studio. It's very difficult to get in here unless you have permission. And we will begin The first part of our program is going to be devoted to some biographical information of each one of the superintendents. It's always nice to know who these people are. They're just not names, you know. They're people that are married, have families, or came from other places, and where they went to school, and so on and so forth. So luckily, Lori Van Valkenburg is here. And Lori, we're ready to hear your biographical information. Divulge what it is you think is important for us to get to know you.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for having us here today, Ned.
It's a pleasure. Mine. It solves my problems. I like interviewing important people. It's a reflection of me, I guess.
There you go.
If you're not important, then I'm not important. Anyway, thank God we have the other three. We haven't missed a beat. Sue Carnell from Westwood District is here, and Jeffrey Bartold of District 7 is here. And the first thing we're doing is some biographical information of each of you. And Lori started, but all we got was her name.
That is. Well, I've been in education for a very long time. I went to Eastern Michigan University. I was a speech therapist. So my bachelor's and master's are both in speech pathology, with also education certification. I taught in the public schools in Melvindale for a while, and then I went on to work on my doctorate. I took a leave, and I went to the University of Toledo, and there I was granted a PhD in education and curriculum, in administration and curriculum. I've been in the Crestwood School District. This is beginning my 10th year. This is my seventh year as superintendent. I arrived in the district from the Riverview School District, where I was an elementary school principal, and then later an assistant superintendent of curriculum and instruction. I arrived in Crestwood to be assistant superintendent of curriculum and instruction once again, and I did that for 3 years, and that brings us to where we are now.
Okay.
I'm long time married, 3 children, and...
Okay, yeah, I was hoping you just dealt with your personal things, and then we could have done theirs, and then we could talk about that. So I'm an architect, and I'm an organized thinker. I like things in pieces. So we could ask Sue. She's next in line. You get that microphone. You don't have to get too close to it. Tell us about yourself personally, and then we'll do what she did since we started that way.
All right. Good afternoon. My name is Sue Carnell. I was born in England.
Oh, there you go.
My mother's English, and so all of her family lives over there. She met my father, who was in the Army at the time. So I was born in England, traveled to the States at a very young age. I am the only child, so I have no siblings. So half of my family is in England, the other half is here in the States. I grew up in Michigan most of my life, traveled to California at one point to live there for about a year with the family. My father got stationed in Fort Ord, California. I went to high school in Inkster Public Schools. Graduated from there, went to University of Michigan, and then went to Eastern Michigan University for my graduate work. I'm currently enrolled at EMU for my doctorate work. So I should have that completed pretty soon.
Good. I didn't know EMU had a doctorate program.
Yes.
What do I know? I'm not an educator.
But I'm also married, happily married for 35 years.
Lord have mercy. You don't look that old.
I have 2 children and 2 grandchildren.
I have to say the same thing. Wow.
Wow.
You don't look old enough to have grandkids, no.
Thank you.
Anyway, Jeffrey, you're next. Jeffrey District 7.
Yes.
We want to make sure people know what
Jeff Bartle, superintendent in Dearborn Heights District 7. I've been married for 31 years. I have 3 children, 26, 23, and 29. I've lived in Michigan all my life and been in education for about 32 years now. So I'll just keep it short at this point.
Your schooling, where'd you go to school?
I went to my schooling.
Are you a local person?
Yes, my schooling was at Davenport University and Walsh College. It's a business background. So I have a master's in finance as my highest degree right now.
I see. So you weren't school teaching before you became?
No, strictly the finance side of it.
I see. That's interesting. I learned something about that.
Dearborn High School graduate. I went to St. Alphonsus.
Oh, there you go. See, that's...
I kept it in the neighborhood.
Yeah, this is just a way to the listeners to have sense. In other words, you're just voices on the radio, and every once in a while when we have a station identification at about three times during the program, I'll stop and reintroduce you guys. Otherwise, before you talk. Otherwise, which voice is what? You know, I don't usually have three people talking, so most of the time it's one. But first of all, let me thank you for coming. I'm sure our residents that listen to the program are very much interested in the issues the schools are confronted with. I can't say that I'm familiar with issues of the school. I make sure that I read all the local newspapers, but something pertaining to the school districts, I will read it, but I can't say I know much about it other than that. The first thing I'd like to, we still have some time, about... You've given us all your background, so good. We saved some time on that. The first question I'd like to ask you is your budget for each one of you, Crestwood School, so people get an idea. What is your budget for Crestwood School?
$32 million per year.
Okay, roughly. And the Westwood School?
In Westwood is about $26 million.
So that's pretty close, 31, 26, and
Dearborn Jeffrey. Heights District 7, it's about $24 million.
So you're a little smaller. Does the number reflect the size of your district or number? Because I'm going to ask you another question. How many schools and what kind do you have in your district? Like you have each one of you have a high school, I assume.
Yes.
So.
Crestwood has five school buildings. We have a Crestwood High School, Riverside Middle School, and our three elementaries, Highview, Hillcrest, and Kinlock.
Good. And that's a good way to begin it. Sue, you could, you say you're Westwood so that I don't have to ask.
Perfect. In Westwood, we have two elementaries, Daly and Thorne. We have one middle school, Tomlinson, and we have four high school offerings. We have Robichaud High School, New Tech High School, Ombudsman Alternative High School, and a Cyber High School.
Okay. I'm absolutely confused about that, but we'll come back to it because I don't want to change everybody's train. You don't have four high school buildings, right?
That's correct.
Jeffrey?
We have one high school in District 7, Annapolis High School, O.W. Best Middle School, and three elementary schools, Bedford, Pardee, and Polk Elementary.
So, based on what I'm hearing, and I'm not writing them down, I probably should, all three of you have about three or four elementary schools?
Yes.
Westwood has two.
Westwood
has two.
Two. So two, three, four, is that what we have?
Three elementary.
So we have three at Crestwood, three in District 7, and two in Inkster. I mean, two in...
Westwood.
Now, the next thing I'm going to ask is before I get back to your high school thing so I can keep things clear, how many students do you have in each district?
Crestwood has approximately 3,500 students.
Okay.
And Westwood has approximately 2,650.
District 7 is around 2,700.
So you got a little more, and your budget's $2 million less. And I didn't even write it down. I just remembered.
She has a few more programs in her high school now that she can probably elaborate on.
I see. So Crestwood has at least almost 800 or 900 students more.
Correct.
Okay. Sue, let's get back to how you have four high schools, or you, what is this system? That's interesting to me.
We have four high school programs. So we have a traditional high school, and we have three non-traditional high schools. One is called Westwood New Tech High School.
Student. Are these buildings?
No, we only have one high school building.
I see.
So within the one high school building, we have Westwood New Tech, and it's in a separate wing of the building. And there the students have laptops, and it's one-to-one project-based learning. So students do all of their work and all of their lessons on a computer. So there's no textbooks that they take home. All of their information is on a computer. They submit their work on a computer.
They're all part of your 2,650 students.
That's correct.
And I assume this is some special federal program or state program?
No, it's just a different offering for students who want to learn via computer-based program. We also have a cyber high school where the students do not come to a building. There are people who work with them over the computer.
Why do you have these differences and the others don't?
Well, one of the reasons is because there are alternative programs. Our cyber high school and our ombudsman are alternative programs that are open up to other districts. So we have students from Dearborn Heights number 7 and Crestwood. So we take students from around Wayne County. So we provide an alternative. So we're the district that hosts an alternative program for other districts.
You're not the only. Some districts actually take people from other districts. I forgot what you call it now.
Schools of choice.
Yes. And then do all three of you have schools of choice? Or I don't think Crestwood does. You got more than enough for something.
Right. Crestwood has a very limited school of choice program. We accept students for our accelerated program. We call it a CAP program, Crestwood Accelerated Program. And students have to test into that program, but we do take students from out of district for that.
We'll get back to that. Jeffrey, do you have that problem too?
No, but what I wanted to clarify is we do have another program called the Dearborn Heights Virtual Academy. I explained the school buildings we have, but that is strictly a program that the students take on their own at home using a computer-based program.
Are these people that can't come to school?
They're kids that might have been a child that got expelled or long-term suspended and is no longer in the K-12 environment. And it's an alternative program for them also.
That finishes one topic, and I think I'll do the station ID so any people are not confused. You are listening to The Heights News and Views, a monthly talk show program presented on the second Tuesday of every month, right here on 89.3 FM, making waves from the Henry Ford Community College radio station, broadcasting from Dearborn, Michigan. And now back to our guests for today's program, who are the superintendents of three of the four school districts in the city of Dearborn Heights. They are the Crestwood District with Dr. Lori Van Falkenberg, Westwood District, Sue Carnwell, District 7, Jeffrey Bartold. And I am Dearborn Heights Councilman Ned Apigian, your host. The reason we said there are four, because part of Dearborn Heights, actually where I live, is in the Fairlane District, which is part of Dearborn. That will take me to the next question. Why Dearborn, who has twice the population of, virtually twice the population of Dearborn Heights, they've managed to take a piece of Dearborn Heights since they wanted more students. And the rest of Dearborn Heights, a smaller place in population, has three additional school districts. Anybody have the history of that?
At one point, I believe Dearborn Heights had more than three school districts. The number that's on our district, number 7, there were districts had different ID numbers. There was a Cherry Hill School District, which I think got consolidated into the Crestwood District. So at one point, when the population was higher, there was even more districts in Dearborn Heights.
I see. Sue, do you have any history about that?
I do not have any history on that.
Well,
those were old.
When you hear a male voice talking other than me, you know it's District 7, so I don't have to keep. So we make sure you. So you don't know anything about that. In the Crestwood District, do you know any history about that?
Crestwood was originally a combination of Riverside was a separate district.
Oh.
Riverside High School.
Yes.
It was North Dearborn Heights District.
I see.
And then the districts combined.
I'm not missing a district, am I?
In you are. This?
Yes. Who was that? I always
Wayne
thought.
Wayne Westland.
Yeah, when I started this, I mentioned it to you. I think we have 5 districts total.
Correct.
And why did I get steered wrong? It's my fault. Wayne Westland, what happened to them?
There's a very small section of Dearborn Heights that is covered by the Wayne Westland School District.
So we're actually a part of Dearborn Heights is in the Wayne Westland section.
Correct.
So it's not, we're guests with them. That's not so important. To me, that's strange. That's extremely strange. Now, I think Westwood District, Sue, you go into Inkster, right?
That's correct. We do.
Are you primarily Inkster or half and half, or what else do you share?
It's about half and half.
About half and half. Okay. Jeffrey, what do we have in District 7?
District 7's all encompassed in the city of Dearborn Heights.
I see. A strange relationship.
The school
Laurie
district
from Crestwood's going to tell us.
The school district boundaries have never followed the municipal boundaries. There were many, many school districts. Even Dearborn itself had the Forts. There was a district that was called Fortson District.
Mm-hmm.
And that became part of the Dearborn school system. Wayne Westland.
And Fortson went outside of the limits of the Dearborn system?
It was at one time a separate district outside of Dearborn.
So parts of it could have been Detroit, I see.
Nankin Mills was absorbed by the Wayne Westland District. Are historic boundaries that are not bound by, they're not regulated by municipal districts.
I see. Areas. Okay. That's something I learned, people, at all. Municipal boundaries have no relationship to school districts.
Correct.
Except some municipalities are richer than others. And that, therefore, affects you financially one way or another. I didn't know that history. So Dearborn Heights is blessed with 5 districts, partially 5. We're divided up 5 ways. You see any virtue in this?
Yes, what I was going to say is the uniqueness of the district with the 5 districts is that all of the superintendents get along very well, and we understand that we each have unique programs to meet the needs of students in that vicinity. So we work very well together.
Okay, well, I'm sure, hopefully. Even some of the politicians work very well with one another.
I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole. But
I don't know, but you have 4 school boards. Now, for example, the Wayne Westland, how do you get elected to the, how can somebody in Dearborn Heights be involved in the Wayne Westland?
I believe they would have to live within the boundaries of that school district.
Yeah, that's
it's, you know,
it proportional?
We talk about the 5 school districts, but the 3 districts represented here today probably encompass 90-some%.
Yeah, that's why.
So those are the 3 that actually encompass.
That's why I excluded the Fairlane district.
We have one thing that you might not know is the 3 districts, we have a voc ed consortium that we can send students to Dearborn Heights, can send number seven, can send students to Westwood and Crestwood for programs that we don't offer.
I see.
They can send students from their schools that to our programs that we offer. We also do that academically. If we have advanced placement classes that we might not have enough kids in an AP chemistry class, we could send them to Crestwood High School as part of an academic consortium.
Well, we share
services among ourselves too.
I'm sure our listeners who don't know that, how are they made aware of such a thing? Or they find out when the kids make an application for a class, they say, we don't have enough, you got to go.
We have every year a career night where we invite the kids from the three districts, and we each take turns hosting the program. And we have the programs there, the different programs that we each offer, and the kids can talk to the teachers, see if they like that. They have the kids during the day, a program where they show a video of the different programs, mm-hmm. like Crestwood might have Auto Shop in Annapolis, Dearborn Heights does not, but we might have a Cisco Lab, which is a computer.
You have to have a facility to have that, though, you know.
They would have like an Auto Shop class as part of, room as part of their high school, where we don't have that, but we have a lot of the technology classes, and Westwood would have a lot of the like criminal justice, ROTC, those type programs is what, if a child is interested in that.
Lori, what do you have in your school that maybe the other two don't?
We have a child care program preparing young high school students for a career in education. That we run that, we have a Crestwood child care program, and we have the Auto Shop program, and we offer 11 different AP courses.
And what do you mean by AP?
Advanced placement courses. Oh. It's a specialized curriculum, and at the end of the course, the students may take a test, and from that test, if there are 5 points that you can earn on the test, it's graded by 5. If the students earn up to a 3, they receive college credit for that class. 3 or higher, and we take in students from both districts, from D7 and from Westwood.
The next question is this question of districts that take in. They seem like, if I remember the articles, well, we're short, we need people. Let's go around the room and tell us, do you need people, or you give people this?
District 7, treat it
like that, so the people listening might say, who needs people and who gives people?
Well, I think we all need people. I mean, the way the funding is, it's based on how many students you have. So the more students you have, the more funding you get.
Mm-hmm.
We have approximately 46% of our student body comes from other school districts. So actually about 54% live in the city of Dearborn Heights. So we take them from Taylor, from Dearborn, from Allen Park, Melvindale.
And who pays for this? Where do you get the money from that?
They get the state money in our student account, and we get the same amount.
So their school system loses the state money, about $7,000 a person.
If they come to our schools, yes.
I imagine they wouldn't like that, would they?
They probably don't, but that, unfortunately, that's kind of what the state has put us in.
Okay.
Based on how we get our funding, so much per child and how many children you have. And
Sue, what about the Westwood District? Are you borrowing? Are you giving up more than you take in?
We take in quite a few students. About 40% of our population is school of choice or from another district. But again, we have...
That's about the same percentage.
We're a little bit lower than Dearborn Heights number 7.
Mm-hmm.
But the uniqueness about the three of us, we all have different programs that we offer. And so it's more so that it's student-focused on what program best meets the needs of the student. So we don't offer the same type of program. We're not in competition for each other.
And Mrs. Falkenberg?
Crestwood's at capacity. At 3,500, we don't have any more room.
These are all Dearborn Heights residents?
These are all Dearborn Heights residents, with
so
the exception of
So you're exceptional
about,
in that respect.
We are.
Okay.
We're very
See,
fortunate.
I didn't know that.
We're very fortunate.
Listen to that, people.
We have about 20 students who come into our CAP program, and those students are tested in, and they do.
And the CAP program means?
Is the Crestwood Accelerated Program for students in grades 2 through 4.
Well, when I went to high school, which was a long time ago, I'm not from here. I was born and raised in Niagara Falls, New York. there were two high schools. As far as I know, those programs were identical. Absolutely identical. It would just depended on where you lived. I happened to have gone to a vocational technical high school, which did not have a boundary. As I would think about it, if you wanted to go there, you went there. You just had to get yourself there, depending on. I mean, it wasn't exactly centrally located. Actually, it was near the basic first high school. You could walk from one to the other. And it was free. I mean, there was no additional charge. They gave you everything, pencils, paper. It was an extraordinary program. It probably would be a lot like Cass Tech, but I don't know how people got to go to Cass Tech. You had to be a Detroit resident. So if you were out of the system, you couldn't go. My program was interesting in that it was 3 years long, and there were two technical programs, one in chemistry and one in drafting. And the drafting program was half of the day, every day, 5 days a week. And when graduation time came, it was like the firms came to school where they had these thing. We have them now. What do they call them? Where they interview people, job interview programs? I forget what they call them. And the kids got all sorts of opportunities in the manual things. There was auto shop and metal and carpentry, electrical. It just went on and on and on. Anyhow, we don't have such a thing in Dearborn Heights other than the auto shop program. Well, that brings us to the midpoint of our program. You see, you thought there was we're already halfway through, and look at all the things we haven't talked about that you want to talk about. Right, Dennis? Okay, sure. Let me give our station ID, and then we'll have a station identification, public service announcement. People are tired of hearing our voices. They'll hear something else. You are listening to the Heights News and Views, a monthly talk show program presented on the second Tuesday of every month, right here on 89.3 FM.
Dig deeper. Local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area on the new WHFR Journal every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. and anytime as a podcast from WHFR.fm. Join our WHFR news team as we dig deeper, making waves.
Green jobs are here to stay. Why not go green with a degree in alternative energy here at Henry Ford Community College? Students will acquire knowledge in advanced fuel sources and the practice of alternative energy in the world. For more information on the Alternative Energy Program, please contact HFCC's Technology Division by calling 313-317-9816 or by going to hfcc.edu/programs.
Packers,
Vikings,
Red State,
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown,
downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty,
half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities, the building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Heights News and Views, a monthly talk show program presented on the second Tuesday of every month, right here on 89.3 FM, making waves from the Henry Ford Community College radio station, broadcasting from Dearborn, Michigan. And now back to our guests for today's program, with the superintendents of three of our school districts in the city of Dearborn Heights. There are a total of five, but we're dealing with the vast majority here. They are from the Crestwood District, Dr. Lori Van Valkenburg, the Westwood District, Sue Carnell, can't read my own writing, District 7, Jeffrey Bartold, and I am Dearborn Heights Councilman Ned Apigian, your host. Now, I covered the idea of vocational technical education by talking about my own. Apparently, we don't have access to such a sophisticated program in Dearborn Heights. We do share, I'm summarizing a little bit, we do share District 7 and Westwood have about 40% of out-of-city students, and in Crestwood is fully loaded up with 99% Dearborn Heights students. And I was trying to get ready for my next question, and it slipped my mind. It was relevant to what we're talking about. So we discussed budget, we discussed number of schools, we discussed you get the school allotment. How about the academies, the charter schools? How many do we have in Dearborn Heights and in each one of your districts so we can put a number on them? I have no idea how many there are.
Within District 7, there are no academies.
There are no academies in 7. How about in Westwood?
There are no academies in Westwood.
There also. You go. That's good news.
Crestwood has Star Academy.
Oh, that's okay. That's in Dearborn, right? The Star Academy.
It's in Dearborn Heights.
Yes, it's in Dearborn Heights. Now, do you guys regard these academies as taking something away from you? Because you don't need it. You already got your student count pretty well packed up.
We always need students, though, and we want to maintain our student body.
So you would like to have 4,000 students?
We would.
You would?
We would like to have every student who lives in the Crestwood District attend Crestwood.
Okay. Well, then brings me to the next important question, which I hadn't considered, capacity. Do you have the capacity for more students?
We would have to.
Without having a bond issue like Dearborn, 6 mils to...
We would have to add. The building in which Star Academy is located was a Crestwood School District building. We sold that building to another agency.
Oh, that's right. Right.
Star.
It's near the City Hall, right?
Right. It's next to City Hall, right.
Well, you got rid of it because you didn't have the student need, presumably.
At that time, we did not.
There you go.
Yeah. And we also had the Berwyn Center was also.
That's a really old story, isn't it?
Yeah, that's another old story.
But and then the Eaton Center used to be a school, and that would be in whose district?
That's in District 7.
Okay.
And that's been with the city probably close to 20 years now. So
yeah, $1 a year rent we pay. I can't tell you what it costs us to run the place. It's a lot more than a dollar.
I'm sure it is.
There's some people want to get rid of the senior centers. I'm not one of them. It's interesting how people that wanted to close them, and during election time, they're all for having them open.
That's politics.
I guess. I'm not much of a politician. I just say what I think. Which is not real good sometimes. So how about you in capacity? District 7, Jeffrey?
For this school year, we just closed an elementary school. So we have an elementary school that we could fill with more students.
So is that school sitting? You're the one that changed two schools to do second and third grade and third and fourth.
We had four elementaries last year, and this year we have three elementaries.
That's right, and you joined them.
And we made one a K-1 building. The second one's a 2-3 building, and the third one's a 4-5 building.
How's that working out? That sounds a sensible thing to do.
It's working out really good, really nice this year. We're able to offer more curriculum-based programs for that age group.
And you're saving a couple hundred thousand dollars.
We're saving money from closing that building, and we had to, of course, we had to lay off some staff because we didn't need as many teachers and as many custodians. We didn't need a principal and a secretary in that building, so that helped us cut our expenses over.
Sue, would you like to address that same question before I get back and ask him what on earth we're going to do with that building?
In Westwood, we could use some more students at the high school level because we have four different programs and they're spread out throughout the district. Our building has capacity for more students. Yes. Our elementary has 900 students in one elementary and 250 in the other one, but both of those are both near capacity.
There's a big difference. Jeff,
Dennis. I just have a question for all of you regarding capacity. I look at, there is such a delicate balance, isn't there? Because I've always noticed that education or schooling districts work in cycles. People move in, they have families, they move out, the kids grow up. I mean, there's a constant, it's an ebb and a flow. In addition to that, I just remembered that there's a great article in the Dearborn Press and Guide regarding kids not passing. And obviously that's not something we want, but that's something you have to look at. And I think in the specific article I was reading regarding Dearborn schools, it was third grade. So they were already looking ahead to middle schools and high schools, how if you keep this number or this percentage of kids back and they move forward after that, there's going to be a kind of a log jam. Is that, this has to be a constant challenge with the school districts. No?
Well, there's a proposal out there right now that they're talking about having third grade retention for children that aren't reading at the third grade level.
What would you normally do?
If it depended on what your district has as their deciding factors on moving the kids forward. So we don't have a lot of retention right now.
You know something, this is a good question. My sisters are 13, 14 years older than me. The same teacher failed both of my teachers, the second grade, and that same teacher failed me. We're talking about the same school 13 years later. People used to get held back. You guys don't hold people back if you're not at a level?
They do. I mean, what's, I'm not saying we don't completely, but they do have retention. But this bill that's being proposed is more specific, and it forces school districts to hold the kids back. But I don't know if that's going to get passed by the legislature or not.
So why is it the legislature has to make it? That's amazing.
And so anyway, often they're not educators that are making these decisions, too.
Yeah, but I mean, this is what I mean. This is crazy.
It leaves the decision on whether or not a student should pass to the next level based on one assessment and one individual. We think it should be more of a collective and collaboration.
So, okay, and that's the way the system is now?
Correct.
And Lori, what's your system?
And when you reflect on your experience and the experience in the schools now, we have much more money and staff devoted to helping students keep up and helping them learn. In Crestwood's $32 million budget, $1.4 million is from Title I.
Which means
it's compensatory education, it's supplemental to our regular program, it's to assist students who have learning needs.
Well, I could not tell you why my sisters and I were held up in the second grade by the same teacher. I think it was a prejudicial thing. It must have been. My sisters were clever devils. They were sharper than I. And they used to have, what was it, when you graduated with honors, you were...
Valedictorian?
No, it was... I'm trying to think now. Cool. I wasn't prepared to talk about that. But both of my sisters were people that went to school in the 30s. It was a big deal to graduate high school. The mere fact that you were, you know, you didn't leave school and go on, it was a possibility. But this idea of not holding people back, I thought was... I didn't know who had the power to say whether who's held back or not.
We also recognize that students develop at different rates, that each child is an individual and their developmental levels are not equal at all times.
Well, and you're dealing in districts where I have a friend of mine that's an educator, and he said, and was a principal of a big elementary school, and he said, well, you got to make sure your children in your school a heavy Jewish population because they're achievers and they keep everybody running. Now you have to be in a school full of Orientals because they really got everybody running. And I said, that's an interesting analogy. So when you're, if you're not in one of those kinds of districts, I guess you have to have something to compensate. Is that what it is? Anyway, I taught school at the university level for a year, and I got the impression everybody thinks that they're supposed to have a B or an A. When I went to college, the idea was to have a C. C meant you've reached the competency level expected for this course. If you got a B, it means you exceeded that level, and if you got an A, you could teach it to your contemporaries. Now everybody has to have a B or an A, and I'm not earning any. I remember waiting, gee, my quality point average is 2 point plus. They're not going to ask me to leave. That was my idea. That was a long time ago. And the first thing they want to do is, is it all right if I can talk to you with your first name? I can't understand that. Anyway, is there something you guys, we're in the last quarter, almost time for me to do another station ID because I want our listeners to know who you guys are. And this last quarter be devoted to what you a topic you'd like to talk about, because my questions are limited. But you may bring up interesting things, and you can each comment on each other's briefly. And I'd like to remind our listening audience, I hope you're learning as much about the school system that I am. You are listening to the Heights News and Views, a monthly talk show program presented on the second Tuesday of every month right here on 89.3 FM. Making waves from the Henry Ford Community College radio station, and everybody doesn't have one. The University of Michigan doesn't have one down the street. Broadcasting from Dearborn, Michigan. And the reason I say that is you can get this program archived on the internet, whfr.fm. You could listen to this, have your friends in Australia listen to it, and you can go back to any second Tuesday you like to listen to the archive programs. And now back to our guests today, which we are thankful for, and they are the superintendents of three of our five school districts in the city of Dearborn Heights. They are from the Crestwood School District, Dr. Lori Van Falkenberg, from the Westwood School District, Sue Carnell, from the District 7 District, Jeffrey Bartold. And I am your Dearborn Heights Councilman, Nat Apigian, as your host today and every second Tuesday of the month. So we'll go, Jeffrey, how about, is there a topic you'd like to bring out to make the people aware of something special they have no idea? And then the other superintendents can bring up one or comment on you. You can comment about your...
We're currently looking at, have a committee right now looking at doing a technology bond in our school district. So I want the residents of our district to be aware of that. We passed a technology bond in 1999. It was $7.2 million. And at that time, our district was one of the state-of-the-art districts with technology back at that time, put in fiber optics and all of our infrastructure and computers and classrooms and that, but as you know, technology, you can buy it today and it's outdated tomorrow. So our technology from 1999 is getting to the outdated
point. So that was a 10-year millage, don't you have your...
It was a 10-year millage that had to be paid, and that's paid off now. So our residents currently don't pay any debt.
So you want to have a renewable one.
I want to have another one that can upgrade our technology, mm-hmm. because we don't have the funding in our general fund.
So you have to go to the voters and wherever, yes. your guest students, where they come from. Do they have a say
no,
in the matter?
Only the
residents. That's something
I get to vote on it. So, okay. That's going to be a hard thing to do is because
absolutely
only half of your population can basically vote on the bond.
Right.
So that's something we'll have to.
Well, we just passed the library bond issue, which is really a quality of life issue, and it passed by about 200 or 300 votes, which is really important.
Well, we had the election back in '99. It passed by 60 votes, so it was very close. So,
yeah.
You know, we got to take that into account now because we have no other funding source.
That's right. But you got to do what you got to do and see what they say. And Sue, what would you like to bring out that or comment? Do you have such a thing? Or?
We have a non-homestead millage proposal that we're looking to put on the ballot for the 2014. And it's the same scenario. We don't have general funds to help.
What does non-homestead mean?
It means that the residents who live in homes will not be taxed. It goes to people who otherwise don't live in homes, so businesses. And so we're not asking for an increase in taxes, just maintaining what they already have.
So the businesses within your district pay the tax?
Yes, but they're already paying it now, so we're just asking for a renewal.
Oh, so it's a renewal. Do you know how many mills it is?
It's about 18 mills.
18 mills is a lot.
Who's no, gonna? It's no increase. It's the same amount.
I see.
It's a lot of bang for the buck here.
You want to extend an 18 mil?
Correct.
Okay. And the people, the residents in the district vote on this, but it doesn't affect them?
Correct.
Oh, that's a good proposal. I punish you. I punish them, and I want the results. You'll succeed. You'll do better on that one. Mrs. Van Valkenburg, what do
Crestwood
you
May. Crestwood is also looking at a non-homestead millage renewal, which
My
is
God,
about 18
I just
years.
Learned something. How about, you missed out, Jeffrey.
No,
don't you have a non-homestead?
Our non-homestead is next year, too, but I'm so concerned about our technology bond. But as Ms. Carnell said, that the state assumes that you levy the 18 mil, so if it fails, your foundation allowance, you won't get your full foundation allowance because they base that on you
getting
of getting that 18 mil. So it's very important.
The state just got rid of the business tax, and they haven't figured out where they're going to get the money from
right.
the business tax.
Right.
So in District 7, that generates about $1.1 million in our general fund that we wouldn't have.
So you just didn't bring it up when I asked you, but
no.
All three of you have this non-homestead, and it will be on the ballot. Is the non-homestead for all three of you the same amount of mills? In Westward, it's 18?
It's strictly 18 mills unless it's been...
It's always 18
unless
mills.
It's been reduced by the Headley Amendment. But it's always 18 mills.
How would the Headley Amendment affect that?
Well, currently it doesn't because the Headley Amendment works on that your taxable value can't increase faster than the rate of inflation. Well, as you know, most tax bases are actually going...
Down,
not up. So it usually doesn't. So it's probably 18 mil still in all three districts.
Dennis would like to ask a question.
I have a question.
Don't forget your thought.
Well, and this may actually, I don't know where it applies the most, but taxes bring in X amount of money. And I know it's the cliche, and we hear it all the time, especially at Dearborn Heights City Council meetings, that you cannot cut your way to prosperity. So we need more money coming in, flat out. I remember reading years ago, not that, actually it wasn't even years, it was a couple years ago, I think it was District 7 was entertaining or considering the idea of maybe including advertising out commercial entities to come in and advertise maybe at school, maybe on some of the basketball court, the ice rinks and things like that. Did that ever go anywhere?
That we are currently have companies advertising on our website, the banner across the top.
Okay.
And you get a little bit of funding, but the funding's been far and few between, to be honest. So it hasn't panned out to be a giant money maker for the school district.
Do you know if people are out there aggressively seeking the advertising dollars? I mean, I'm just curious because I know if, you know, there's print publications are a bad example because that's the models change considerably. But like you said, websites and companies that generate revenue through advertising, a lot of them are extremely successful, and I always felt like that could be a really viable option if you consider the right type of advertiser. I think that's important.
Westwood is looking to do an app so for your iPhone, iPad, And with that, it comes with a company, and they can do some advertising also. So when we get things that come our way, we look at them for the benefit that it can provide our families and our students. We have some advertisements in our gym, but that helps with the athletic fund.
Sure.
So we try to use as many open resources as possible.
Okay.
What did we call the non-homestead? What is the age? Village.
What's Crestwood doing regarding revenue generating?
Yeah, Crestwood also has some banners. We have some vendors, some companies who are within our district who provide funding. We have banners on our football field.
Sure.
And that generates some income.
So kind of like right now, it's a walk before you run. I mean, if you know, I look at the naming rights of like Ford Field downtown, and of course those are dollars that don't exist in school districts, but if somebody wanted to come in and, what is it, Canfield Ice Rink? Somebody said, well, I have whatever bank, and I'd like to rename it. I mean, do you think the city would obviously have to make that decision, but is that something the school districts would look at?
Well, the boards would decide that, wouldn't they?
Sure, and Crestwood would look at that as well, except that at times when you have an outside agency coming in looking at privatizing your commercialization, they're looking at the same companies. The same group of companies and businesses that they will approach that we would approach.
They build those relationships just like you would.
That makes a
lot of sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not always profitable.
The year 2014, our voters in Dearborn Heights are going to see non-homestead millage. And you think anybody knows what that means?
Now they do.
Well, now they do. That's a selling point that it's not costing you, but it's going to cost things. You know, we are not a community that's a big business community. I mean, if you compare us, we have a lot of maybe mom-and-pop stores on streets. We have strip commercial. We don't have the city of Dearborn. We don't have the Rouge plant. We don't have shopping centers galore and all that sort of stuff. So, and you're all in that 18%. The governor is going to say, if you don't meet this 18%, I'm going to take it out of your assessment.
Correct.
And this legislature will take it out of you.
And with our budget, the size of our budget, those are significant dollars that would be eliminated from our ability to spend it on supplies.
If they're going to if they're not going to come up with it. What do you think about, do you know how the TIFA works that affects you? The TIFA doesn't affect you.
Not Crestwood.
TIFA affects
We don't have TIFA in our district.
You don't have. So you're the only one that has TIFA.
Yes, and
you
we're regard very thankful.
It as you're thankful. You like the TIFA. Does it makes improvements in the school district as well?
Recently, TIFA gave us some money to help us put up a new scoreboard at our athletic field.
Well, there were people against the idea of the TIFA. In fact, we have a very famous person that's, when it comes to taxes, everybody knows what she thinks. She says now she's sorry she was opposed to the idea. The whole city of Taylor is a TIFA district, and some people were one page smarter than they should have been when it came to the TIFA district. Anyway, I'd like to ask you a final question. It has to do with privatization of public schools. What do you think about that? You know, corporations coming in, do they actually take them over? Do they give you some input? Do they start helping your budget? Or is it a complete privatization? You'd say the Ford Motor Company wanted to come in and say, look, we want to introduce some stuff and we're willing to pay for it to bring it. How does that work? Is it something that makes sense?
Well,
I think all of us have
some kind of services we have privatized, like our food service. We used to do that internally with our employees, and now that's done by an outside management company. They supply the workers, they supply the food,
cooks. But you pay for it.
But it comes out of the meal charges that the kids pay for lunch. Our program over the years generates a positive fund balance. Our elementary children only pay, I think it's $2.35 for a lunch, which is pretty reasonable, and yet we're able to
see costs. The senior citizen things there, I think that's the cost for lunch if you decide to go.
So that even though the cost is low, we've been able to keep our actual operating cost.
Is it
down.
Saving you money on your fund? But
if you had a deficit in your food service, your general fund would subsidize it. And
right,
we're not
but you
to
don't
do
because
we do not have
you're
to do that.
Okay. Anything similar with
same,
you? Sir?
Same with us. We're a community eligibility option district, which means all of our students eat for free, and we have privatized our food services as well.
And who pays for it? The federal government?
We use the money that, yes, the federal government and some of the state funds.
And this has to do with the income level of the district people? That's interesting.
Yes.
Crestwood maintains
so you gotta,
food service.
That should be an enticement for somebody to go into your district. Because we have free lunch over here.
And breakfast,
Lord have mercy.
About 60% of the students at Crestwood receive free and reduced lunch and breakfast. So that opportunity is at Crestwood, and it's at D7
breakfast.
As well.
School's open for breakfast.
Yes,
now.
We open for breakfast and for lunch.
Well, I know they were lunch. I remember school lunch. I do not remember school breakfast.
Yeah. And Crestwood has not privatized our food service program.
Okay.
We still feed our students, and we do not lose money on that. We did privatize our transportation
program.
Well, as
you guys can't hear the music, I can in my ear. Dennis is telling us we're getting near the end, and he's going to, when he sees fit, he's going to read our closing statement. But I don't want you to run away. We got to sign the book. You're going to be guests of the program.
It was nice meeting all of you.
Thank you
so much for being here today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Heights News and Views presented on the second Tuesday of every month on WHFR Dearborn, making waves on 89.3 FM. This program is devoted entirely to issues of interest to the residents of the city of Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Presented from 1 until 2 p.m. on the second Tuesday of every month. Making waves in Dearborn from the campus of the Henry Ford Community College radio station on 89.3 FM. You can listen to these programs on the internet at whfr.fm, or you can re-listen to this or any one of our other achieved programs by selecting whfr.fm. Then from our homepage, select the Talk Show button and choose the date of the program that you wish to listen to. We hope that you decide to listen to us again on the second Tuesday of next month. On behalf of your host, Dearborn Heights Councilman Ned Apigian, good afternoon.
Dearborn! This is David Twitchell with We Are Not Alone, wishing all our loyal listeners the best of the holiday season and a very prosperous new year.
Robots the size of blood cells, Earth-like planets outside the solar system.
Science fiction?
No, science faction. Join us, Seth Shostak and
Molly Bentley and
WHFR each Tuesday at noon for Big Picture Science.
Big Picture Science steps back to get the wide-angle view on science and technology from where they've been to where they're headed.
So think big. Big Picture Science. You'll find it here on WHFR.FM every Tuesday at noon.
We're making waves on WHFR 89.3.
The healthcare industry will continue to be one of the largest employers of college graduates. More jobs are